Let's see. The scripture is from Matthew 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening had come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last and to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that which is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, it's usually the case when you get a pinch hitter, things don't always go right. And I realized that I had forgotten to excuse Sharon and our children to go downstairs before, and I saw them leaving, and I want to acknowledge her service and thank her. And if you want to thank her for that, to help our children here in the church when she comes up, I would appreciate it. I'm going to talk a little bit about a friend of mine named Tom Reynolds. Now, Tom was from Toledo, and a lot of my stuff that I do here has a connection with my Masonic travels. Tom was our Grand Master in 2002, so we traveled around with him for 3 years. Tom was, if you can think about an absent-minded professor, that was Tom. Tom was a high school teacher. He also was an adjunct professor up at Findlay University. And he had some quirks. One of them was that Tom was a teacher, as I said, and no offense to any teachers here, but at our Grand Master receptions, the Grand Master's supposed to speak. Now, the year that I did that, my speeches averaged about 15 minutes. Tom spoke in 45-minute classroom blocks. You could pretty much set your watch that when he started, 45 minutes later, he would get done. It was like it was ingrained in his head. And he had some of the funniest stories. I won't even go to them now. One of them was about baby clouds. If I could remember it, I'd tell it. But he was a nice man. But he also was one of these people that, you know, that no matter what happened to him, he always seemed to come up smelling like a rose. One time he was driving through a town up in northern Ohio, and he made a wrong turn and ended up in the middle of the Strawberry Festival parade. And he's driving down the street, and everybody's waving at him, and he's waving back and didn't know why. Got to the end of the route and drove on like nothing had happened. In 2005, we were in Calgary for a conference. And the bus was leaving to take us to the airport. Excuse me. No Tom, no Marge. They were habitually late. So we look, and the bus driver finally says, I have to go or else we're going to be late. So we look, and here they come towards the bus. The bus is leaving. And we think, oh, my God, Tom's done it again. We get over to a gate at the airport, and he's there already. I said, Tom? Well, somebody heard what happened. They put me in their car and drove me over here. And I said, that's the story of time. If it was me, I'd still be waiting in Calgary, probably. But he was just that kind of a person. But he always was he was a good person. He would take on anything. He was a hack golfer like many of us. They needed a golfing coach at Findlay. He took on the job of being the golf coach for the high school team. The next year they won the state championship, only state championship they ever won. And he knew about as much about golf as I do, which is to say I know how to turn the channel on. But again, he was one of those people who always seemed to just do the right thing no matter what he did, and it always came out that way. And no matter where he'd start at the end of in a line, if he was at the end, he'd be at the beginning. And in a manner of speaking, that's what our text is about today. First, like many of Jesus' teachings, it's a parable. Now, I've heard the term parable for a long time and thought, I need to look into this a little bit more. So Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines a parable as a usually short, fictitious story that illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. And I thought this might need a little more study. So, like everything else, you go online. I found an article by a gentleman named Ed Jarrett. And he talks about parables. He said, it turns out that there are 39 distinct parables in the Gospels. They range in length from one verse to more than 20. It said, they all used everyday examples and were relatable stories to those who heard them. And they had a truth that Jesus was attempting to get across to those he was teaching. A parable, according to this author, contains two distinct layers. On the surface, the parable was just an interesting story, one that was easily understood by the listeners and based on things within their own experience. But a parable also had a deeper meaning, illustrating a spiritual truth. In Jesus' use of parables, this truth was most commonly dealt with the kingdom of heaven. And it was a truth that was easy to miss. Even some of the disciples had a problem with the parables. In Matthew 13:10, Jesus' disciples ask him, why do you speak to the people in parables? They, the disciples, seemed to find his parables confusing and frequently asked Jesus what they meant. They knew Jesus was trying to teach them something in these parables, but they found it hard to understand just what it was. So they asked him why he didn't just tell them directly. Why make it so hard to understand? In the next three verses, Jesus replied to them, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even when they will have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. Jesus, therefore, had two reasons for speaking in parables. The first was to enable his followers to grasp the secrets of the kingdom of heaven more easily. It was a teaching tool for them and us. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer continues to use these parables today to teach us the secrets of the kingdom. His second reason was just the opposite. It hid the secrets of the kingdom from those who had not committed themselves to his lordship. Parables allow those who have faith, along with the instruction of the Holy Spirit, to learn about the kingdom, and they prevent others from doing the same. Those without faith in the Spirit are unable to understand the truths of Jesus' parables. Back to today's passage. This parable reinforces Jesus' teaching regarding true Christian service and riches. The householder referred to in the passage is Christ himself, the master of the vineyard, the field of labor, where service to the world through his church is performed. The early in the morning and later verses refer to the manner in which laborers were hired. It was a custom at that time to find workers. You would go to the marketplace and hire them. You did not have regular workers or employees. Therefore, at dawn, the owner went to the marketplace and gathered workers. Later, determining that he needed some more help, he went back and hired more. He did this three times during the day. This may seem a little strange to us, but is similar in a lot of cities to what they call a day laborer system. Rather than hire more help than needed, the owner waited until he determined that more men could be used and then hired them. Also, please note that he had gone out and hired men at the 11th hour, or just 1 hour before the close of the workday. The owner had agreed with the laborers originally hired for a penny. The Bible says denarius, but penny's a whole lot easier to understand, per day. To all the others he had said, whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. This phrase indicates Christ's justice and equal treatment to his laborers in the field. At the end of the day, the laborers all went to the owner's steward, who paid them from last to first, each a penny. Those who had been hired first complained that they should have gotten more, but the owner told them that he had paid them according to their agreement, because they had agreed for a penny a day, and he could do with his property as he wished. The statement, "I will give unto this last even as unto thee," is Jesus' interpretation of "the last shall be first, and the first shall be last." There is perhaps another interpretation in which Jesus promises those working in the 11th hour blessings equal to those of his original disciples. By so doing, Jesus warns against jealousy and impurity of motive in serving him. We are all laborers in the field, some working longer and harder than others, but the only way that we will receive our figurative penny is to make a commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And no matter when we started our labor or how much we work, his word states that we will all receive our wages if we but ask for them. These verses are not exactly unfamiliar to me or to Bob. That passage is from one of our Masonic degrees, but I did not pick it for that reason. And I will confess that sometimes having to come in and do this every so often, it's kind of hard to find a topic. That, you know, usually the pastor's going on a sermon series. He starts and he goes through and he has six or eight sermons all tied together, whereas I just have to come in. So I usually look to something for inspiration. I just try to find out something that really strikes me and say, this is what I'm going to do. And on Thursday, I was coming home from a meeting downtown, and what inspired me was a bumper sticker. It was on the back of a Nissan pickup truck. I remember that for some weird reason. But the bumper sticker said this, not exact phrasing, but paraphrased, said, if you're waiting to approach Jesus at the 11th hour, I hope that you die at 10:30. And I thought to myself, number one, I would really like to have a conversation with this person, because obviously their idea of being a Christian and mine are two different things. They don't mesh at all. But two, it reminded me of this sermon topic about this passage, because the passage states that no matter when we ask our Lord and Savior for his blessing, it will be given to us. I've said before that one of my favorite passages in the Bible is one that most people wouldn't think of, and it's the passage that deals with Jesus on the cross and the two thieves who are on either side of him. And one of them says, berates Jesus and says, why do you not do something? But the other says, my Lord, I understand that I have done wrong, and I now ask you to forgive me. And Jesus looks at him and says, you will be with me today in paradise. That wasn't just at the 11th hour. That was the 11th hour and the 59th minute and the 59th second. The very last thing that the man could do before he died was to ask, and he was granted the request that he had asked for. So again, I don't know how someone could put a bumper sticker like that, but I know, and we know, that that's not how our Lord and Savior operates. That he is there for us whenever we ask for his help and assistance. The time is not important. What is important is that you are sincere, that you really care about being touched by his hand, and that you know that asking you shall receive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I hope the words that have been brought this morning have been a blessing to you and have brought some comfort to those here in our church today. I know that if we are led by you and do as you would instruct us to do, then all will be right in your sight. Be with us now as we go about the rest of our day, and may what we do and say continue to bless you and to strengthen your kingdom. This we ask in thy holy and precious name. Amen.